Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Have you ever been around one of those preachers who's constantly showing you how sinful you are, but never really gives much in the way of solutions? Well, James isn't one of those preachers. We're studying James 3, which is loaded with material exposing our verbal sins and the underlying sins that cause bad speech. But today, he gives us the remedy.
You got salt water coming out? That means your underground pool, your heart, is a salt spring. What does that mean for those of us who stumble in many ways in our speech, which is all of us, including James? Does that mean every single one of us is a salt spring? Every single one of us who ever gossips or uses harsh speech characterized by earthly, unspiritual, demonic wisdom? But when our tongues prove to be double-minded, blessing God, cursing men, blessing God, is that proof that every single one of us is just lost? We're not even saved? And what can be done with a double-minded tongue that James says, remember he says it defiles your own heart? What if my heart is defiled by my own defiling tongue? I had a defiled heart, defiling words came out, made my heart even more defiled. Is there a remedy for that? If you're corrupted and polluted by sins of a double-minded tongue, what should you do? What you should do is turn your page to chapter 4. Look at James 4:8. Look what he says there. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Those are words of hope. Can you see the hope in those words? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That's some of the greatest news in the whole book because it tells me that if I've got a defiled, double-minded, sinful, putrid heart, it can be purified. That's incredibly good news. Well, how is it done? How is it purified? Do I need to fix it up? No. It's just purified by God through humble repentance. Look at verse 9. Grieve. Mourn and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And what will happen? He will lift you up. Now, we'll talk about that passage more when we get to it. We'll talk about all the various aspects of repentance and what all that looks like when we get to chapter 4. But for now, it's just great to know there's a remedy. Not only for my sinful, spiteful, hellfire, snake venom tongue, but there's even a solution for my bitter salt water reservoir down below that's making me a salt spring. There's a solution to my salt water heart. It's humble repentance. If you humble yourself before God and repent of your sins, God will consider your heart clean, pure. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and will purify us from all unrighteousness. Why was Abraham considered righteous? Even with all that salt water that came out of his mouth when he's lying about his wife and all that stuff. Why? Because he had faith. He had the kind of faith that drove him to action. And the most immediate action of true faith is repentance. Repentance. People who genuinely believe God, genuinely trust God, have a lifestyle of repenting when they see sin in their lives. That's the way they do. They sin and then they repent. They see it and they say, oh, I need to repent. And whenever they stumble, they repent. And instead of making excuses, lying to themselves, instead of trying to justify themselves and say, well, you got to understand this and that, instead of denying reality, they repent. And they let go of that sin. They turn back to God. And those people are considered righteous in God's sight. They're considered pure. Those people are considered freshwater springs. And when they bless God, it's real blessing. God is honored by it. He's pleased by it. Do they still stumble and turn around and curse men? Yes, but when they do, they repent. Because they understand all this. Why did James wait so long to give us the solution? Why did he force us to endure the pummeling that we got in chapter 3? It's because when it comes to our sin, especially sins of the mouth, our only hope is brokenness and humble repentance. And that's not going to happen until my pride is crushed to powder by conviction. That's why we needed that whole long section at the beginning of chapter 3. I mean, I've verified that in my own life, in my own experience. I've tried things to get my speech in order, you know, to try to get a handle on my tongue, reading books and memorizing verses and accountability and trying harder and reminders. And looking back, the one thing that really just made a big difference in getting control of this unstable, restless, poisonous, incendiary, unpredictable, double-minded, out-of-control mouth of mine, the thing that really helped, most effective thing I found in getting control of my selfish, proud, boastful words, condemning words, harsh words, unkind, judgmental words, the thing that worked the most is brokenness over my sin. Times when I've really blown it big, I've committed sins I never even thought I was capable of. Or when I've become enslaved to sin and just fell time after time after time, and I tried to change and I fell, no matter how hard I tried to escape. Or when I see my sin do massive damage to other people, just devastate people. When those kinds of things have happened and finally brought me to a point of just being crushed on my face, literally in my office, on my face with tears on the ground, shattered before God, and repentance. In times like that, finally, it's a little easier to rein in my tongue. So somebody comes to me with some gossip, and my first thought in those moments is, well, at least that person's not as bad as me. And it's a firewall, just stops there. Or someone hurts me, and I think, what they did to me is sin, but it's not. It's nothing compared to what I did. Nothing. Nothing will soften your speech like the humility that comes from brokenness and contrition over your own sin. The reason James goes on and on about the evils of speech is not to make us feel condemned. It's to break our pride so that we can truly repent and be cleansed in God's sight. Because God opposes the proud. But He gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Thank you for that promise, God. Forgive us for our sin. Oh Lord, awaken us to our sin. Foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. Lord, we sang those words earlier. Help us believe that. Help us feel that. So that we can have that great hope when I rise to worlds unknown and behold you on your throne. I will be standing on the rock of ages. I will be in your shelter forever.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.